This is a replay of the abbreviated Wednesday night, February 7th WGN show after the game. We started about midnight. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the air. Edge of the Lunatic Fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have an hour to spend together tonight, somewhat an abbreviated show, but your input is more than welcome. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, there were several things on my mind earlier, but then John called me aside and said, would you take a look at this? And it was something which I'm going to describe here in a moment with a warning label. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the warning labels that are out there on various products, some of which are hilarious and others are just mystifying, such as the hammer that says, caution, do not use this hammer to strike any solid object. What else would you do with it? Yeah, and of course, all of these usually are the outgrowth of someone who did something insane. Yeah, like the blow dryers that say do not use while sleeping. There was one I saw from a Swedish chainsaw that said do not attempt to stop chain with hands or genitals. Yeah, and you wonder who did what to whom to get that label. But John handed this to me. It's just a, you know, your basic dollar item. And it is a hanger, a sawtooth hanger, the kind you put on the back of a picture. And then you put a nail in the wall with that hammer. You're not supposed to strike a solid object with, no doubt. And you know, I don't have to describe this. Everybody's hung a picture. All right, so I look at the product. It's made by Ook, which is a Cincinnati company. Yeah, it's now a division of Hillman, but nonetheless. And I say, all right, it's a fine sawtooth hanger, you know, little thing, like I say, that you hammer into the back of a picture and then you put it on a nail and that's it, right? Warning, cancer and reproductive harm. I've been sitting here for the last hour trying to think of how that could possibly equate to being cancer or reproductive harm. Now, of course, I had somewhat of a clue because it had P65warnings.ca.gov. Oh, Proposition 65. And Proposition 65 is a list of known irritants, shall we say, known to the state of California. And there's a ton of chemicals, and you can get on the list in a variety of ways, to say the least. But they're saying by law, a warning must be given for listed chemicals unless the exposure is low enough to pose no significant risk of cancer or is significantly below levels observed to cause birth defects or other reproductive harm. What could you possibly do with the hanger? What? I gave up. I thought of a few things that could cause harm, you know, maybe even reproductive harm, depending on exactly what you were doing. But in general, yeah, the world's gone mad is what it's come down to. So, yes, if you have any idea how the sawtooth hanger on the back of the picture could cause cancer to anybody, I'd love to know it. Now, of course, I realize that this is the state of California. So, you know, probably if there was something in the manufacturing process that was miles from you, hundreds of miles, thousands of miles from you, that might be a problem for anybody making it, they would put it on the list, but they don't make it seem like that. So I've been sitting here in awe and wonderment for an hour. So if you have any idea how this kind of corrugated hanger on the back, a little piece of metal, not very long, on the back of a picture could be a reproductive harm. I'd love to know how that works. All right, so that's the question of the night. There is no answer that I can come up with. Maybe you can. But another thing that I had seen earlier today, and it's actually a topic that comes up fairly regularly, particularly if you live in an area that has an HOA, a homeowners association, or conversely, if you don't, because obviously the reasons for HOA are to keep areas up to certain standards. And I understand that, because if you're living in a place that doesn't have this at all, as we do, you wind up next to things that are undesirable, to put it in the best way. But I got to tell you, if my choice is living next to something that's undesirable or dealing with the HOA, I'll take the undesirables any day of the week. Well, so here's a guy in Florida, homeowner, fined over $900, no warning, by his HOA for leaving leaf bags, a bunch of leaf bags, out in his driveway because he was wrong. He thought the trash was picked up on one day, and it turned out it was picked up a day earlier. So there were 16 bags of leaves in, you know, black plastic leaf bags. You've seen them in the stores. I don't have to describe that. And, you know, there they were. And so he doesn't get a warning. He later gets a fine for $927. And the HOA said that, well, you violated the homeowner rules. He said, you didn't tell me this was an issue. Well, we didn't have to tell you, and we had to hire somebody to come get your bags. And that person said you had 60 bags. I love that part, because there were pictures of the bags, for God's sakes. There might have been 16, maybe. This guy, by the way, has lived in this homeowner association area for 17 years and had never had a problem. And he said, you know, I figured if I committed a violation on my property, they'd send me a warning notice that I could correct it, which I would have done. No, instead, they called trash collection. Trash collection billed the HOA $400 for the removal of over 60 bags of trash. Well, a picture accompanying the invoice confirmed that the guy probably did have at most 16 bags, maybe less. And even his neighbor said, it was not possible that this guy had 60 bags in the yard. A lawyer for the HOA couldn't explain the difference between the picture compared to what the handyman claimed on the invoice, but said that regardless, the trash had to be moved and he has to pay. And so an email from the HOA's attorney said, since we didn't see it personally, we have only the picture to go on. The picture has 16 bags of trash. We also don't know if there were more bags underneath that. What, underneath the concrete on the driveway? Yeah, and or if the photo was taken after some of them had been removed. Either way, the trash wasn't supposed to be there, so pay up. This is their fee, and so $927, $400 for the handyman, $200 for the HOA fees, you know, to act on it, to call the handyman, I guess. Maybe it was long distance. And over $300 in legal fees. And this guy said no. And did the sensible thing. He called the local TV station, which, by the way, some of those consumer reporters are just the best, because, you know, they put it on the news. The next thing you know, things get done, which is actually good. And so, sure enough, the news outlet reached out to the HOA board of directors, and they said, well, we are starting to evaluate our vendor policies to take into account a reasonable amount of days for trash pickup. Yeah, right. Like, by the way, they called the vendor to pick up the trash like 2 days. Didn't call him. Didn't tell him, hey, you got to pull this out of your driveway. Call the vendor, the handyman. And meanwhile, the handyman said, nope, it was 60 bags, even though everybody involved said, that's not possible. So the HOA said, well, we'll waive this bill. No kidding. So they issued him a $100 cleanup fine for the 15 bags of trash he admitted to leaving out on the curb. And he said, I'm going to try to get on the HOA board next time there's an open seat. Good luck. Yeah. How to turn normal people into Nazis. Put them on an HOA board. It works every time. Yeah. So I'm telling you, I got an undesirable next door. Just fine. 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. We'll get to Paul in Buffalo Grove, and you too, coming up on WGN Radio.
I wonder if you are really a friend of mine. If I were dying of thirst, would you be my glass of wine? Time goes by so slow, you know. You never really know who your friends are.
I'm Raleigh James, and that's Al Cooper, 1969 on Columbia. Al turned 80 Monday, so happy birthday to Al Cooper. That maybe wasn't one of his finest efforts, but but worthy of remembering. Anyway, 888-876-5593. We get to Paul, and Paul is in Buffalo Grove. I moved my magic twanger, so let me get it here. All right, so now Paul, that's proper. Welcome to WGN Radio. What's up?
Yeah, I was just hearing you talk about the cancer warning.
Yeah.
It's really just about in any product. I don't think I've ever bought anything that didn't have that warning on it. If you buy something like a power cord or something where it's just loose, it'll have a thing strapped to it, and it'll say California has determined that this product may cause cancer. Otherwise, and other things, if you buy a radio or whatever, it's usually in the instruction manual on a last page or something where all the cautionary things and warnings are. But I don't think, I was trying to find one quick and I couldn't find one, but just about every owner's manual I have or anything that I bought will say that. And first of all, I'm like, you know, I don't live in California. I don't care, you know, but I guess what it is, you know, they're not going to make special manuals and put certain warnings on for products just sold in that state. It wouldn't be cost effective. So because California has that law, every product made just puts that on there just for the people in California, because they may get some of these and order it from Amazon or who knows where, and it gets shipped to California. And by law, anything sold there has to have that on there. So that's why it's on just about everything.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't think I've seen anything without that warning on it. And it's just like, you know, you see it, you get an extension cord, you see it, and you rip the thing off, and you're just like, oh, for Christ's sakes, you know?
Well, I still want to understand their logic here, because they are saying, and obviously they don't follow their own regulations, gee, what a shock, saying that if the exposure is low enough to pose no significant risk of cancer, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's talk about your extension cord. Even eating it, I don't think gives you problems, but probably not cancer.
Right, but then you think about it. Let's say you're going to sell a product, and you're going to go, well, what exactly, am I going to hire lawyers and everything? What constitutes, how much do I have to have of this chemical in there? And I'm going to have it lab tested. And they're like, you know what, just put the warning on it, and we're covered. Because the law is, if you don't put that on, you get trouble somehow. But it's like, you know what, let's just put it on everything we sell, and then we cover ourselves. So half the products you get with that warning in it don't cause cancer, but, you know, they're doing it to save so they can sell it in California and not get in trouble and get fined for it or whatever.
That's an interesting thought. I hadn't really thought about that, but I guess if I was a manufacturer of anything, no matter what it was, I would think, all right, just shove the warning label on there.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then,
man.
Whether it does or not, you're covered.
And you know what's really sad about this? Assuming there was something to Proposition 65, like maybe there are some things that could cause a problem. If every label has it, well, then things that you should worry about, you just ignore it because every label has it.
Exactly. You know,
yeah,
it's just crazy. But I mean, it's just, before I even looked up why that is on everything, I was like, you know, what, just like you with the hanger, I'm like, get an extension cord or something, or a radio. I mean, right. And it's just like, how is this going to cause cancer? But then it's like, you know, after this has been like going on for years, and now it's just like, oh, you just ignore it.
Well, that's it. And so that what that means, you ignore the things that matter. It's sort of like the sexual offenders database. You know, when
but
it was.
But then again, also, and think about this now. Only California determines that. You've got all these other states and countries that don't find it to cause cancer. You know, it's just it's a crazy state, and they got these. You know, what? How come? You know, how come California? But it was. It's not like, you know, if you have a pack of cigarettes or something, and the federal government puts a warning on there that it can cause lung cancer or whatever. If this really caused cancer, I would think that the FDA or, you know, whatever federal agency would include it to say, you know, the federal government finds it has determined that this can cause cancer, not just the state of California.
Well, that's Proposition 65. Voters, it was actually like a 63-37 margin passed this in 1986.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they were thinking, but I'm sure they've got an entire department for this and probably at least half a dozen bureaucrats making six figures to administer it.
Right. But, you know, again, like if it were to say something like, you know, the FDA or the American Medical Association or something has determined, well, then, you know, you might think about it a little bit more. But whenever something says the state of California has determined, you just know it's all just ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you are. That's a good point. All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it, Paul.
Yep.
All right. So makes entirely too much sense for an issue that makes absolutely no sense to anybody. Yeah, but that is California. But yeah, like I say, in a way, that's such a disservice because you start to ignore everything. And maybe some of those warnings you might want to take a little look at. It's like I was saying with the sexual offender database, you know, when that came out, obviously a lot of parents were breathing easier, for instance. But then you look at qualifications for entry on the list. And in some cases, it was some schmo who was, you know, urinating in public, thought nobody was seeing him or what have you, you know. And I'm not saying that's delightful behavior, but it's not the kind of things like, you know, shut the doors, Thelma. You know, it's not like that at all. So it does. It sort of desensitizes you to things that maybe actually are important. And of course, they're calling the Proposition 65 clear and reasonable warnings. Man, reasonable. That's such a wonderful word. All right. Yeah, I've used it in contracts. All right, Cindy in Norwich, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, I'm not in one of my better moods.
Oh, great. But so you called me. Okay. All right, Cindy. So you thought, I'm in a lousy mood. I'll call Raleigh. All right.
Well, I mean, that's the way I really am, though. I can think outside the box like you.
Mm. So what is causing this disagreeable mood?
Well, I don't know if it's bipolar racing thoughts a little bit or just, you know, I don't know. But anyhow, someone came and saw my house. It was the first showing.
Oh, that's right. We should back up and say you bought a condo very suddenly, actually.
Well, I didn't buy it yet. It's just earnest money.
Okay, but it's in kind of on contingency of you selling your house. And I know you made a very quick decision there. So now it's time to sell the house. Now, have you listed it with an agent?
Yes.
Well, then why are you home when people are coming to see it?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I just found out their feedback.
Oh. And what
you know,
was...
They came and saw my... I put $60K into this house. Okay, just listen.
No, I can't. Wait a minute. Cindy, I can't listen because I got to listen to the news. So hold on and we'll get back to it. I promise.
Right.
All right. So, yes, we'll get back to Cindy and her real estate woes and your calls too on WGN Radio.
I bet you never heard old Marshall Dillon say, Miss Kitty, have you ever thought of running away? Settling down, would you marry me? If I ask you twice and beg you pretty please, she'd have said yes in a New York minute. They never tied a knot, his heart wasn't in it. He just stole a kiss as he rode away. He never hung his hat up,
Kitty's place. I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six-shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy, singing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy. Sidekick with a funny name, running wild through the hills, chasing Jesse James, ending up on the brink of danger, riding shotgun for the Texas Rangers. No West, young man, haven't you been told? California's full of whiskey, women and ghosts, sleeping out all night beneath the desert stars, with a dream in my eye and a prayer in my heart. I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six-shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy, singing those campfire songs. Should have been a cowboy.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the one that did it for Toby Keith. His first record on Mercury and his first number one record. Yeah, number one for 2 weeks in 1993, and started one hell of a career that sadly ended with his death on Monday. But yeah, so that's the one that did it. And he was on Mercury and then DreamWorks. Well, they started his own label. But something else I wanted to play for our next break, and we'll talk more about him. But we're talking with Cindy in Norwich, who is admittedly in a lousy mood. Oh, fine. And so, all right, so you are upset because the real estate agent gave you the feedback on a showing of your house, and what's the problem?
Well, I'm not really in a bad mood. I'm never really in a good mood, or, you know, I'm not really in a bad mood. I'm just a realist, and I'm realizing what, you know, what the people, you know, that looked at it are doing.
Either the husband,
you know, he's like, well, it needs a lot of work. I mean, I was like, he's like, it needs a lot of work, and we'll think about it.
Okay.
And
well, that's fair. In his mind, it probably does. You see,
I understand that.
So what's the
way I think about it, the way I think about it is the people who move into my neighborhood are lower middle class, blue collar people.
Well, that doesn't change an assessment in terms of that. So if he's looking at it and thinks it needs a lot of work, usually what he's saying is, for the price that's being asked, I have to put a lot into that. So what does the real estate agent say about the price that's being asked? Do they feel it's reasonable?
Yes, and all it's right. $75,000 to $100,000 less than other homes are going that are just about the same thing in my neighborhood.
Right, looks good for the comps. Well, that's fine. So that's his opinion, but that's perfectly fine. And now we'll see what the next person and the next person and the next person thinks. But I don't.
I'm just thinking, where would
Cindy, it's not unreasonable. It's just not.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just thinking, you know, just the way it is around here and just the way the American people are, the husband is probably looking to, like, get a deal for his wife.
Well, you know, now you're
all the way to the bank.
Yeah, now you're in conjecture land. Cindy, you're in conjecture land. You have no idea. You have no idea if that's true or not, yet you're having an emotional reaction to it. So quit it.
You know, my cousin said that's just a game. It's just a
so
game.
So quit it.
To try
just
and...
quit it. Tell the real estate agent not to give you any more feedback and to let you know when it's sold. It'll be better for your mental health.
Okay.
Yeah, really, trust me. Because you can come up with any scenario in the world about why people are doing what they're doing. You have no idea to know whether it's accurate or not, but then you build this castle in the sky and you move into it. You start to believe it. Well, we have no idea what the guy's really thinking. So don't be upset. Well, he's trying to do this and he's trying to do that. Well, who cares? And you don't know.
Yeah, but the real estate said that if they all, you know, I'm selling it for $335, and the real estate said if they, the real estate, one of the teams said if they say $300, we're not going to let them do that. We're not going to let them take advantage.
Well, then that's fine. You have a bottom line number, and you'll defend that number. That's reasonable too. And somebody else may offer you $200, and you'll say get out of town. Anybody can offer you anything.
I just thought to myself what Don Rickles would say. I'll sell it to you for $1 and get out of here.
No, as I say, you're creating an emotional scenario based on nothing. All right?
Okay. It's all new to me. I sold my brother's house. His probate lasted like 5 years. Mm-hmm. But this is all new to me, and I'm just trying to figure it out.
There's nothing to figure out. If you and your real estate agent have decided what your breaking point is, in other words, you're not going to sell it for less than 320 or whatever number you've picked, then you just defend that number. And what happens over time, if it gets quite a while down the road and you're saying it's just not moving, then you reassess that number. But for right now, whatever number you pick, defend it and see how many people come by. And people can have all the opinions in the world.
Okay.
All right. So don't worry. Don't make this an issue. You're buying trouble, and you don't need to do it. It's not a good purchase. Just relax and see who comes next.
And I didn't make a snap decision with this. I kind of did, but I kind of didn't.
It was quick.
I know, but the reason it was quick, I've been looking for a condo for at least 10 years, and there's always something wrong with it, like a man.
Everything was wrong with my boyfriend, but
he was so nice, and I loved him dearly.
Oh, yeah. Is he gone now?
Yeah, and he was so tall and handsome, and... when he would, he lived two doors down from me. And
I didn't like the double. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Keep me posted, but stay emotionally out of it. Just look at it like it's a game and let me know what happens.
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thanks a lot. You're so nice, Raleigh. No. I don't know how, either people are way dumber than me or way smarter than me. I'm just somewhere in between.
It's a sliding scale, trust me. It depends who you're comparing it to, so don't worry about that either. Your problem is you're worrying too much. So stop that.
Absolutely.
That's right. You're a problem thinker.
Part of it is I really don't want to leave here because it's a really nice house and as dysfunctional and mean as my neighborhood and the government in my neighborhood could be, it's still just such a nice place to live. I don't even know why. I mean, the way it is, just how dysfunctional it was here, and it's just a really nice place to live, and I'm just too old to stay here. I can't do the snow or the gardening. The parking is real crazy when it snows.
You can go back and forth both ways of why I want to stay, why I want to go, and all that. You finally make a decision, stick with it, don't look back. It's that simple.
It's a done deal.
All right.
A real nice condo. The condo has a washer and dryer in the unit.
Well, yeah.
It has a sprinkler system. It has two bathrooms, and one of the showers, you don't have to step over the bathtub. It's on the floor level, like a little bump.
Yes, it's a walk-in shower, yes. Very nice.
It's a little, for my cousin doesn't drive, and there's a bus right in front of it. It's real close to my neighborhood where I was. you know, my, you know, and like some of my cousins are like, who gives a damn about your cousin? You know, sorry, your cousin Mike, just go where you want to go.
Well,
and
of course,
I'm not like that.
Well, you should go where you want to go. As far as
well,
that goes.
I do want to go there. Okay. I can't drive all the way to that.
So then
I can't drive around all over anymore. I'm too old for that.
Yeah, you need to stop thinking.
I think that's the bipolar disorder. Yeah. My mind just races.
Yes, you're a problem thinker. Mm-hmm. All right, stop that. Talk to you later.
Okay. Well, my sense of humor kind of came back today, too, a little bit.
Well,
okay.
Good. All right, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, and you know, you've heard about problem thinkers, and maybe you are one. You know, it starts out innocently enough. You begin to think at parties, and then just to loosen up. Inevitably, though, just one thought leads to another, and soon you're more than just a social thinker. You begin to think alone, to relax. But that isn't true. It wasn't true. Thinking becomes more and more important, and finally, you're thinking all the time. Yeah, you're a problem thinker. All right, so there's more to that, by the way, but you get the idea. 888-876-5593. We'll talk to Ruth and Gurney coming up. Yeah, we'll talk more about problem thinkers. And you too on WGN Radio.
Really, man, come on. 6 o'clock news says somebody been shot. Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man had to answer for the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street for all the people to see.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And of course, it was number one. And of course, it's Toby Keith with Willie Nelson in that. And of course, from that song, he wrote a movie. You know, I give him so much credit because, you know, that's the kind of thing that I would do. It's like, oh, yeah, I can write a movie. Well, he did. And a guy who used to be on Mercury, a friend of his that he knew, he enlisted to do some of the writing with him. But he had the idea already. And he called on Rodney Carrington to help him flesh it out. And they had a great time doing that. Now, what's interesting is that it was released to theaters and it was panned. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a zero. And, you know, I think it cost like $10 million to produce and it made like under $900,000 in the theaters. But, all right, the first thing you're thinking of, boy, that's a bad investment. 450 theaters, $900,000, oh my. Well, it's available on DVD and Blu-ray. It's made $27.5 million in DVD sales and $14 million in Blu-ray, over $42.5 million in home video sales. I guess he did all right. Yeah, so, Rotten Tomatoes can pan it all you want. It was also interesting, he would love to have shot it in Oklahoma, his home state, but like many people, New Mexico. Yeah, because they give you great tax breaks, and they have a very active film commission in the state, and they court you. And so that's exactly what it was. And it was an interesting movie. Ted Nugent is in it, and Gina Gershon is his girlfriend, as far as that goes. But others as well. So can't tell you that I've seen it, because, you know, I don't go to movies, I don't watch movies. But nonetheless, I saw one average that said, in the box office, 667,000. Yeah, well, with $42.5 million in home sales, who cares? 86 minutes long. So I'm looking to see if there's anybody else in that. Oh, Keith Jardine, Mac Davis has a little role. David Allan Coe, of course. Yeah, Mel Tillis has a little role. Cletus D. Judd. So yeah, you might want to check that out. And yeah, it was a CMT who footed the bill, but also his own company, Show Dog Productions, did that. So, all right, rest in peace, Toby Keith. All right, now, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And Ruth is in Gurnee, really. All right, so Ruth, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Top of the moon to you, Raleigh.
Yes.
You can just say me. I'm in anywhere USA. I love that. It should be a postage stamp,
yeah.
Anywhere USA. Well, you must have a degree from the University of Don't You Know. You do more than a priest does in a confession. So your comment about creating something from nothing, that should be in a fortune cookie. But back to the hanging something on the wall.
Yes.
The caller that gave the avenue of approach of probably the correct approach is that they send out those waivers to avoid complaints,
yeah,
litigation,
yeah,
and all kinds of things. I had thought of that also. But I also thought of this. Someone puts the nail in the wall, the drywall, the bricks, the plaster,
mm-hmm,
and some of the residue flies up their nose,
oh,
and they, thank you for the laugh.
Well, I'm already laughing. I'll tell you why I'm laughing, Ruth, is they also said it would affect reproductive rights, so I'm thinking of where else it's going.
Yeah, right. In one nose and out the other. But the point is that it was something from nothing.
Yes.
It was not going to have a effect. It,
yeah,
was just some other, so many of those red,
yeah,
tape nonsense things that go on,
yeah,
all over the place all of the time. But your answers to all these different things that go on in life experience, they should be sending you degrees from universities across the United States.
Mm.
And theology, too. You do more than a priest does in a confessional.
Mm. Well, you're very
kind. Now, one other couple of comments and a request for a song. But I got to thinking about how interesting all the callers are with their different daily experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that this was a funny thing that brought such laughter to me. At the same time, I was terrorized. Can you imagine having a combination of fear and terror and laughing at the same time? My brother-in-law said to me, George Doyes, who is this guy that my soulmate? Who is it? I want to know where he lives. I want to go past the house. So I was easily led by someone else's suggestion of something that I would not have really wanted to do myself or would take a tremendous amount of courage. It was like Charlie Brown trying to deliver a Valentine's Day to the red-headed girl,
mm,
and never getting to tell her,
mm,
that he loved her.
Mm-hmm.
Or was interested in her. So, okay, you're just going to drive past this person's house. Now, the street doesn't continue on. You have to turn around and,
mm-hmm,
go back.
Right.
So I inform him, we're turning the corner and you're going to pass the house. And I slip down off of the seat so nobody sees me. Nobody's going to be out there to see me in the first place. But I was making something from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he drives past, stops the car in front of the house, tells me that he's in the garage or carport, and he's standing there by a ladder or something, and he rolls down the window and yells out, "She's here. She's here." And he's going to get out of the car and pull me out of the back seat and leaves me there on the street in front of this person that I have such this fear about all this love that's come from planet Uranus or wherever that soulmates are from. So anyway, I am terrified and laughing at the same time what he's saying and what he's going to do and how embarrassed I'm going to be. And then he says on top of it, which I never said anything under any circumstances involving the gossip, because I wanted this guy to look like a knight in shiny armor, that his crazy wife was going to come running out of the house. But fortunately, he drove away. He didn't leave me there outside of his vehicle and yelling, "Here she is," and I'm in the back seat. So who looked like the nut? "Here she is," when I wasn't sitting in the seat. I was down on the bottom of the floor, you know. So, okay, so that, I think, was an interesting life experience. And so I would have liked to have known in advance not to have put through it by someone else's manipulation. But one of the other things besides my other...
I got less than a minute of time, so you better tell me the request.
Okay,
but
okay.
I'm really starting to see how they locked you up in the nut house for a while there. You can't tell these stories to other people.
But here's this. The St. Joe's Libertyville had two lifts off of a giant rosary balloons, and I thought that was the most fantastic
song. I got 10 seconds. Song.
Anyway, people complained, and they won't do it again. But where did the giant rosary land?
Song?
What divine wind took
I guess
where?
You got to call
Goodbye.
Me tomorrow night to tell me what song you want to hear, Ruth, because we're out of time. I warned you. Talk to you later. All right, so we'll find out what song she wants to hear tomorrow. I also got an email criticizing me not for saying the rest of Thinkers Anonymous, so I will tomorrow, and I'll talk to James about his stories, and hopefully you too. 3 hours, full big show tomorrow, starting at 10 o'clock Central. That's right, 10 o'clock Central. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, and John for screening your calls. Above all those of you who called, I appreciate that. We'll do it again in 21 hours. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.